Okay.
This is Deanna Spingola. It is Thursday. It is September 19th, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is Bare Bones Broadcasting. My guest today is Michelle Van Buren. She does not have a website, but there are certainly some websites that have her story. And so those will be linked on the schedule page so that you can read these stories. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Well, tell us about your son. Tell us, start from the beginning and tell us what happened and what the situation is with you now with your grandson.
February 3rd of 2012, last year, my son was killed by a police officer. They said that they smelled marijuana in the house, and they tried to take his son away from him.
Now, under what circumstances did they visit your son's home?
Well, they said a neighbor called and said that there was a domestic disturbance. He was fighting with an old girlfriend on the phone. And my son has a very loud voice. And the neighbors end up turning him in. And so the two police officers came, and one of them just has harassed my son for many years. But he says, "Well, I smell pot." He says, "I smell marijuana." And my son told him, he says, "I don't smell marijuana. There is no marijuana in the house." And the apartments there, a lot of people there do smoke marijuana because we lived there with our son when we were in Florida, and you could smell the pot as soon as you walked in. And they harassed him for over an hour, and my son had brain damage when he was born, and he was having a very hard time with it, and he finally just said, "Fine." He says, "I smoked a joint at 10 o'clock. Are you happy?" And he said the police officer looked at him and smiled and left. Next thing you know, DHS comes over and says that they wanted a drug sample, you know, a drug test. Yeah, and they put cotton in your mouth where, you know, for to take the test. Well, they must not have followed through because you have to send it to Lansing in order to even prove that there's even any drugs on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, it wasn't even an hour later, police officers broke into the home. And they weren't invited in or anything. They just came right into the house.
They didn't knock?
No. The door was wide open. They just went right in. And my son yelled at him, says, "You're not taking my, you know, my son." And
there seems to be some background noise. Are you in a rocking chair or...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You can't be comfortable when you're doing a program. You have to, so don't rock.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not.
Okay. Alrighty. So they busted into his home. DHS?
Two DHS people and two officers. And they had their tasers on him, and the one DHS officer said that my son had a knife. And so the other officer put his gun or put his taser down, put it away, and shot my son right in the chest and killed him instantly, right in front of my grandson.
What?
Yes.
Did he have
and
a knife?
And the other...
Did your son have
He had a pocket knife. Yes, he had a pocket knife in his pocket.
But he wasn't threatening the officer in any way.
Well, to us, that is it. We're right now, there's with the legal issues, we can't really discuss my son's case over this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So I could talk about there, but I can just tell you exactly what happened because it is in the paper of exactly how it had, you know, what it happened. And we were in Florida when it happened. Well, they end up doing an autopsy. There was no drugs or alcohol at all in his system. There was none. And so my son was, to me, murdered from a police officer. And even, you know, I just wish I could tell you a lot more, but there's a suit getting ready to happen, so we have to, you know,
sure.
Be quiet about that.
Absolutely.
And so they end up taking the child away. My nephew called immediately to CPS and said, there's family here, a lot of family, we will take him. They said no, they refused to give him the child. And this is our DHS here in Grayling. Refused to give the child to him. My sister called. They refused to give the child to him and says, no, we're going to put him in a placement. We drove all night to get there, and we got he was killed Friday at 4 o'clock. And I talked to my son the whole day. I couldn't believe it. And he says, because he was so upset, he says, Mom, they're going to try to take Cameron away. He says, I even told him a story. He says, they got me so upset. He says, I said that I smoked a joint, and I really didn't. And I goes, William, I can't believe that they would take the child away. And I was shocked. I could not believe that that's exactly what they were trying to do. And we got there. We went and saw went to CPS Monday. And Don Munger, who is one of the bosses at DHS, says, you're never going to get him. We're going to make sure of that. So you might as well get an attorney because we're going to make sure you never see him.
Why?
That was her first sentence. Because of William's death. We believe that they know that they were at fault for what they did, that William should have never been killed in the first place. And so now they're using my grandson as a pawn and have put him in foster care. And
have they indicated to you that they are exploiting the situation? Is there any indication that that is what they're doing in order to have you... they're holding up your grandson, Cameron, as a ploy to get you not to perhaps file a suit for wrongful death. Is that what they're trying to do?
That's what we believe so, yes, because they figured, to me in my mind, is that they figured if I lose with this, then there's no way I could win a lawsuit, because if I can't win against Cameron, you know, to get Cameron, then I must not be any good, because the way they've treated me through all of this has been horrifying. And we've never even stated that we were even going to sue them or anything like that. There's still nothing brought up that we were going to sue them. But yet they go to the judge and says that they're afraid of their lives because the Van Buren's are going to sue us. So I said, this has nothing to do with our grandson. But my son's case, you know, my son's death has everything to do with this, I guess, because they're putting it right in there.
Wow. Now, he was a single father. Your son, William Reddy, R-E-D-D-I-E,
yes,
was a 32-year-old single father and living in Grayling, Michigan, in an apartment.
Yes.
And they claim that he pulled a 4-inch pocket knife and was lunging at a Crawford County Sheriff's deputy. And that is not true?
I can get in trouble if I say
okay.
anything with our
okay.
attorney. We,
okay.
we can't discuss anything of that.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I wish I could tell you, but only thing I'm allowed to say right now is that, you know, is anything for Cameron.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, for our grandson, because, like I said, there's going to be a suit being filed, and anything that I say, they could use that against me.
Sure.
You know,
I had an attorney on maybe 2 months ago, and it was an attorney that I took an NRA class with, and he said that you can only shoot someone if you feel that your life is in mortal danger. And that is the only time that anybody is allowed to legally shoot another person. And
that's right.
And so I won't say any more than that, but I think they didn't have to kill your son.
That's right. That's exactly right. I believe, but you know, how my son was murdered. I mean, in cold blood, right in front of his son.
Right.
And I can't get over that. That's unbelievable. And he was my only son. And Cameron is my only grandchild.
Oh.
You know, and now they're going to take him away, and they're saying that I'm using him as my son. That the only reason why I want him is because he was my son's son.
Oh, well, and that's a like, perfectly legitimate reason to want your grandson.
That not to them. They don't believe in that. They're saying that they don't believe that's what it's for. That's not what you want a child for. I have never seen how horrifying. I mean, they're using stuff from me. My son was, you know, he had brain damage when he was born.
Uh-huh.
They told me when he was young, I knew there was something wrong. They told me to go to CMH, and that's community mental health. That's before it became, you know, DHS,
okay.
Which we call it DHS, but everybody knows it as CPS, as Children's Protective Service.
Right.
Okay. So I went to get help for them, and the only way I could get help is through the court systems. I was going by what they told me to do in order to get help for my son. My son was in children's hospitals for up to 10 years. Till I finally found out that he ended up having severe brain damage. They said, you'll probably never know exactly how extensive, you know, it happened. He, you know, how he got it. He says, it's just things that just happen with children. And so he had a lot of aggression. And I had to teach him instead of not acting out. And I ended up teaching him a way of where he would never act out. And it's like I told him, when he ever got upset with anything, you tell me. You just tell me exactly what happened. And then he would yell and scream and, you know, he'd get really upset. And then all of a sudden he'd calm right down. And I go, see, isn't that a lot better than acting out and doing anything? And he goes, yeah. He said, I feel a lot better. I says, yeah, just tell exactly how you feel. Get it out of how people treat you. And people have always treated him, you know, badly as a kid. He never even got to go to school. You know, I mean, that's his only dream was to get a G, you know, GHD or GED, whatever.
Uh-huh.
GED,
you
know.
Something. Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he wanted it so bad.
Now,
you know, but he learned.
Was he vaccine? Did you get vaccines for him as a child?
Oh, yes. He's had everything.
That's
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, he's had all of that. He just had, end up having mental issues, and he ended up growing up to be a wonderful man.
Well, it could be that the vaccines caused the problem, because those are very dangerous.
Yeah, that I have no idea. They never explained to me. They just said that he had brain damage when he was born.
Huh.
But
did he have shots right after his birth in the hospital?
Yeah, he had his normal shots that he always had with kids do. Get their vaccinations. He's had all of them.
They're proving that a lot of brain damage is caused by vaccines, because they are poisons, you know.
Okay, well, they never told me that.
Well, no, the medical industry wants to keep that a great big huge dark secret, because they don't want people to be suing the medical practitioners or the insurance companies or the hospitals. But there are all kinds of cases that have proven that children who have been vaccinated. In fact, I had a young couple from South Africa on about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whose child died at the age of 5 months old because she had received eight vaccines that one day, and she died within a very short period of time, a few days.
Wow, that's a lot of vaccines, though, in one day.
Well,
wow.
but that's the way they do it, because they put it, they do like five in one. So you might just get two needle pricks, but maybe you've had eight solutions put into your bloodstream.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah.
So it's quite...
Yeah, because I'm...
quite possibly, William had vaccine damage, and that's what caused his problems.
Okay. I never even knew that. So.
It might be something that you'd want to investigate and maybe use that in your lawsuit. I mean, I think that you need to use every available, all available resources so that you can build a really good case and make sure that your lawyer is up on all of this also.
Oh, okay. All right. I never even thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, you need to have all of the legal facts, all the medical facts that you can possibly get. But this case is really bizarre. And was your grandson, was Cameron traumatized by oh, he must have been traumatized. How could a
well,
child...
Well, that's true. And the only thing he ever wanted was us. But yet they're still stating that there is no relationship or no bond, but yet he'll scream and cry when he has to leave here.
Are you Are you taking videos of this behavior?
No, and I thought that's probably one thing we probably should have done, because I just cannot understand how a foster family can take a child away from family who's out there and, you know, has family. We are pillars of the community. We don't do drugs. We don't drink. We've never been in trouble with the law. My husband's a Vietnam veteran. He's been a correctional officer for 25 years. I was a school bus driver for 15 years. You know, I mean,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay.
But you are going to be having Cameron back. You see him on a regular basis?
They cut it down that now we're only allowed to see him 4 hours a week, and we have to be supervised. And we've had to pay for all of our visits.
Pay?
$220.80.
Why would you have to pay?
Oh, because the court says we have to pay for our visits.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. It's just been horrible. You know, it's like I'm not allowed to talk to him. I'm only allowed to say certain things. And if I do say something... They write it down. They twist the words.
Okay.
They put things in there that aren't even true, because the woman turns in, the person who supervises turns it into them, and then they use it against us.
Okay. I think you better get yourself a camera, and I think that you really need to protect yourself, because you are not protecting yourself. And these visits, they're just going by what this woman is saying. You need to have your own visual witness of what is going on. I really think you do.
Yeah.
You can go online and pick up a little camera for something like $50 or something. And I would definitely do that. Otherwise, they are going to railroad you.
Oh, they've already have railroaded me. They're saying the reason why we can't get him is that they're using, when I was getting help for my son, they're using it from 1991 and 94. And it's like you're using stuff from over 20 years ago for something that I was trying to get help for and you knew. It's like they put me on the child registry. And it's
okay.
Like you put me at, they put me on the child registry from something that happened in 1994. My son was put in a placement from foster care, into foster care. Well, I guess the foster family beat him. But it was my fault, so they put me on the child registry for it. So that's the only reason why we couldn't get Cameron at the beginning.
Now,
well,
do you have records of all of this?
Oh, yes. Oh, we have everything.
And what about your attorney? Does your attorney have records of all of this?
Oh, I have an attorney, and my attorney isn't allowed to speak in court.
Why?
I can. Oh, because the judge says he can't. Because I am not a party to this case because there is no grandparent law. So if I can, I'm allowed to ask questions or to try to speak, but it's up to the judge to see if it's all right what I say is okay. So I have an attorney that sits behind me, and when he tries to ask me or tries to give me questions, he's not allowed to. The judge constantly yells at me for it.
Okay, you need to really get some mentoring or tutoring on what kinds of questions to ask. Now, is your attorney?
Oh, he's been trying to give, we try to have questions, but it's up to the judge whether he thinks it's a good enough question or not.
You're not getting a fair representation.
No, it's all right here in Grayling, and Cameron should have never been in this district at all. It should have been removed out of this district because of the bias that we have been treated right from the beginning. When they told us that no matter what, that they were going to use anything they could to make sure we never see him. I mean, the DHS goes and parties at the bar, and people are coming to us saying how they're talking about me at the bar with this case, saying they're going
to
make sure.
Maybe you ought to take a camera to the bar.
Well, it's like I told them, it's like I told my husband, I says, this is just tearing me apart, how they can talk about us at the bar, and they're supposed to be professional and not discuss this with anybody, but yet they'll talk about it in the bar.
Okay,
We go to court, and they're talking about other cases in front of us, mentioning people's names, and it's like, how dare they? We had a case in front of us where a woman was badly in drugs, gave up her child to the father. And they said, he says, well, I'm going to give you 30 days. They said, no, you can't give him 30 days. We got to have it now because he's got to try to find someone to watch his child. And he goes, for what? He says, well, he's getting ready to go to jail. And then the prosecuting attorney says, don't worry, it's not like he's going to prison or anything, but he's going to go to jail for about a year, and he has to try to find someone to watch his child. And the judge granted it. And we're looking at each other, and it's like, we can't even get Cameron, and yet this is okay. And then yet when our case came, we were treated like crap. I couldn't believe how badly we were treated, and it's like, wait a minute. From a case that you just did a second ago, this is okay?
Wow. Now, have you talked to your attorney about this, this discrimination?
Oh, yes. He's tried fighting for it. And it's like it's like they said, it has nothing to do with Cameron. It's all because William was killed here. And it's like they hate you, and they're going to do anything they can to go after you to make sure that you never get Cameron. They're using Cameron as a pawn, using this poor, innocent little child as a pawn to make sure that we don't get him. And this foster family wants him and is going to take him away. Because that's what she does. She's already taken kids from this from Grayling already.
She gets paid for doing that, correct?
Oh, yes. Plus she gets checks each month, even after adopting them.
Really?
It's like a business.
I'm sure it is a business.
It's like a business. Why would you have to work when you're getting all this money brought in for these kids? They're getting an average from $600 to $800 a month, all the way up to the age of 19.
Wow.
For after adopting him. Now, to me, if you're going to adopt a child, that's your child. It should be your responsibility to take care of your own children. Nope, she gets checks for it.
Okay.
She just adopted a little girl from a family here in Grayling, and the child was taken away right when it was born because it was born with drugs. Cameron had drugs in his body and was born, but yet DHS didn't take that child away. His little brother was born with drugs in his system. They didn't take the child away. Cameron has been hurt all his life from his family. My son has turned them in. Five doctors from the hospital even stated the child needs to be taken away from the mother, and they still wouldn't do it. They kept on fighting to put Cameron back with the mother, who's been so severely in drugs and still in drugs, and she ended up losing it. She even stated to them that she wanted us to have the child, and the court and DHS said no way.
Now, this is William's former wife?
Ex-girlfriend.
Okay, so they weren't married.
They were never married.
Okay.
But yet the other grandchild is with the other grandparents. Both of the kids are still in drugs. Both of the grandparents are severe alcoholics, been in trouble with the law, DUIs and everything, but they get their child no questions asked. None. You know how it makes us look?
Sure.
We're pillars of the community. We haven't done anything wrong, and yet we can't even get our own grandchild. But yet they can.
Now, is there
no questions asked?
What about the newspaper in Grayling? Have they covered this, and in what way have they covered it?
Oh, they haven't covered nothing. I've tried talking to them. They won't even do a story. I've called other newspapers here, and they wouldn't do the story. They wouldn't get back with me, and I couldn't understand why. I said, don't you think this is a good enough story to find out? Well, we have to have a rapport with them because they might not give us any stories.
I said,
you've got to be kidding.
Yes, that is the way that it works. The lawyers are often in bed, not literally, but in bed with the judge. The judge makes money based on the how he judges a particular case. The more people that he puts in prison, the more money he will make, because a lot of the prisons are privatized. In other words, they are owned by a corporation, and the corporation gets money from the taxpayer for each prisoner. And so they're quite willing to have their prisons totally, completely filled. And the newspaper, unfortunately, the press in this country is very, very controlled. And they're not going to go against the policeman there.
No. What makes me sick is here we had a foster, or the adoption lady,
mm-hmm.
came over, and she picked us to be the foster family, or
uh-huh.
to be the, you know, to adopt Cameron.
Uh-huh.
We were so excited. She knew what was going on here. She knew how unfair. She has seen it with DHS, what they've been doing. And she says, don't worry, they're not going to bully me. She goes, you will have Cameron before the holidays. She says, but don't tell anybody. She goes, especially DHS, because I'm afraid of what they might do. This is her exact words. She even told our attorneys, both of my attorneys, that she said, don't worry, Michelle is going to get Cameron.
And you're talking
when Johnson, pardon me?
When you're talking the DHS, you're talking about the Department of Homeland Security.
CPS.
Okay.
Yeah, Children's Protective Services.
Oh, CPS. Okay, I thought you said...
That's what it's called.
DHS.
Yeah, well, we call it here DHS.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, that's what the district,
okay.
or whatever. And,
Now, did anything happen... Did anything happen after Keith had you on his radio program and wrote the article in the American Free Press?
No, we have not heard anything that we know of. When she ended up telling us this, Bill Johnson is the head of all the children in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They call him the Godfather. He's got a lot of lawsuits against him for what he's been doing. Because he's been giving children to foster care instead of families. And they make a lot of money off of this.
Right.
And when you have to adopt a child, we have 14 days right now to stop what they're doing, you know, to try to get Cameron. And they said that nobody, and it's called a Section 45, that nobody in the state of Michigan has ever won a Section 45. Because they said nobody, no judge or attorneys or anybody, will ever go against Bill Johnson. They said he has more power than the President of the United States.
And what office does he hold? What position does he hold?
He's the head of the children of foster care.
Wow.
And he's from Lansing. And... he told the adoption lady, her name is Felony, told her that you do whatever you have to do, but you make sure the foster family gets him and not the Van Buren's. I've been talking with DHS, you know, the CPS. I said, I've been talking with them. We're going to make sure that the Van Buren's never get Cameron. So she ended up changing everything and putting it after she telling me that she was picking us and then giving it to the foster family instead.
Wow.
After she told me, and it's like our attorney said, do you think that she's going to lose her job, you know, and give her job up for you? No, she's not.
And what's
more
her name?
More or less, her job was threatened. Pardon me?
What's her name?
Felony.
Her name is Felony?
Yes. Felony Summers. She won't even speak to us or anything like that. Nobody's, not even our attorneys can talk to her. You know, and it's like you have to go through her supervisor. Even her supervisor won't even speak to us. So DHS got a hold of her really good. And it's not right that DHS can constantly talk to Bill Johnson and tell him what's going on when none of this is true. And yet he has all this power to end up doing that to everybody. You know, I just can't believe how this one man can destroy people's lives. Now, right now, there is a family in Muskegon, grandparents, who their children were taken away and put in foster care, and they wanted to adopt them. They gave them to the foster care people. She took it all the way to the Supreme Court. They did. And I have not heard yet if they got it or not, because Supreme Court said no matter what, family goes with family. Unless there's something desperately wrong where they hurt, you know, or hurt someone, or or went to jail, or, you know, some criminal record, no matter what, family goes with family.
Okay, now he's in charge of the Michigan Children's Institute.
Yes, he is.
And it says that he is the most powerful man in the state of Michigan. Bill Johnson, superintendent of Michigan's Children's Institute, a person who has parental rights of more than 7,000 foster children, to encourage Rick Snyder to shut down the entire operation. So have you approached Governor Rick Snyder?
I've tried and nobody's bothered calling me back. I did call my representative, Rendon, and he said he turned him in to the head DHS office in Lansing. Whether he did or not, I have no idea. I did try to call our senator, and the senator says, I'm sorry, he has nothing to do with any children. So he couldn't do nothing to help me at all.
That's a bunch of baloney.
Yep, he would not help me anything at all.
So it has to be just a certain kind of case before your representatives will represent you?
I guess so. Because I just couldn't believe it. I says, so I take it that you're not even going to help me at all. And he says, no, I can't. I can't help you at all.
Okay, Bill Johnson's phone number. Let's see. Johnson. His phone number is 517-241-7052. And his email is johnsonb3@michigan.gov. Again, Bill Johnson, that's johnsonb3, johnsonb3@michigan.gov. Phone number is 517-241-7052. Would it be helpful if people made phone calls?
I that would be wonderful if people could. Because right now, and this is what's scary, is that it all boils down to money. We don't have the money. It's going to cost $20,000 to $30,000 to do a Section 45.
And you're just regular people.
Yeah.
Right? You're just regular
and people. I'm behind right now with our attorney because it's been so bad. Because it's just like we're constantly doling out money to the attorney, you know, to the courts and stuff. I said, it's just getting ridiculous.
Well, that's the whole purpose of this, is to get money for the courts, because oftentimes a judge will rent the court, the particular court that he presides over, and as a business. This is all about money. It's about money. It's about power. And it's about not caring about the children that are in your jurisdiction, under your jurisdiction.
Oh, and yes, and Grayling here, it's been horrifying what DHS has done. And Christine Berlinski is the child elitum, to me, a very nasty, vile woman. That and Shirley, who's the head of foster care. I mean, it's just horrifying what these rotten people are doing to us. And then they have the goal to have Craig Sharp, who was there the day that my son was murdered, you know, who caused it all, is in there sitting looking. And I know they're doing it to hurt me.
Okay, who's
and
Craig
it's
Sharp?
Wrong. Oh, he was one of the DHS workers when my son was murdered. And then he comes to our court and sits in there behind us with a smirk on his face, thinking it's very, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong that he's even there to even be around this case.
Of course
he has nothing to do with it. And yet they're doing it to hurt me. And yet the judge allows it.
And what's the judge's name?
Burmeister.
Burmeister?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is a terrible situation here. And the thing is, if they can do it to you, they can do it to anybody.
Oh, they've done it to so many people here. It's like I said, the same foster woman has a child that she adopted that she took away from parents and grandparents here. And she adopted him. She's even got the little sister. And I guess she's getting ready to adopt her. She's getting ready to adopt Cameron, plus she has two other boys. Now, how can one woman, knowing that there's family out there that could take care of them, and it even states even in there that there's no problem of us taking care of them, that we have the, you know, that we can take care of our grandson, but they think that it's detrimental to Cameron to be in with us.
But they have to prove this. I mean, they can't just decide that. I mean, don't they have to have some sort of proof to say that you're not qualified?
What proof is it? Their only proof is that they just don't think that I'm good enough to be a good parent to Cameron. There's nothing that they have that could show any proof that I'm not a good enough parent because I haven't done anything wrong. Mark Sorensen, who is one of the bosses there at CPS, you know, and I call it DHS,
uh-huh.
He went to Cameron when the mother had her last visit with her son. Mark Sorensen walks in and says, Cameron, give your mother a kiss goodbye because this will be the last time you ever see her again. And he freaked out. That poor little boy just freaked right out. We couldn't even have
terrible.
Our visit that day. This is what they've been doing to him.
Okay.
This is the horrifying things that they've been doing to him.
Okay. You have to start compiling this. This is evidence. You need to video it. You need to show that you have the ability to. Well, they should have to prove why you are not fit. And if they don't have to prove anything.
They said they don't have to prove anything. It's their word against mine. They just don't believe that we have a strong enough bond with Cameron. But right now what they put down is that Cameron doesn't think that we are primary caregivers.
Oh, that's...
Since when does a four-year-old talk like that?
Exactly.
Really? When he screams and cries when he has to leave our home? You know, I mean, it's wrong. I got in trouble, and the judge yelled at me last time, because I said this is his home. You're mixing this child up. I goes, wait a minute. Dawn says, you know, Dawn Humanga, H-O-M-M-I-N-G-A, she is the foster mother. But yet it's okay for Dawn, for Cameron to say that's her home. You know, so it's okay for that.
How do you spell her name?
H-O-M-M-I-N-G-A. Humunga?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how you spell it. Yeah, H-O-M-M-I-N-G-A.
And so she's doing this for money.
Oh, I believe it's all for money. I mean, it must be some kind of business. To me, I consider it as a business. That it's slavery with children? Where you're using money to get kids?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I have no respect for this woman whatsoever, for a woman to take children away from families. This woman disgusts me. And it's horrible that my grandson has to be there. Because he doesn't even know his own father. But yet they say, well, William is no longer his father because he's dead. No matter what, he's still his father.
Wow. Holy cow.
I mean, it's horrible that this poor little boy can't even remember who his dad is.
Well, it's because they have brainwashed him, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and then they had a psychiatrist. We had to go see a psychiatrist.
Uh-huh, how'd that work out?
Oh, gosh, it was their psychiatrist from the DHS office.
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, he ended up having so many things against me, and I ended up having to pay $600. And we had to scrape that up just so that way I can see a psychiatrist. You know, and it's like they said, the things that he was saying that I have, he says there is no such thing. He says, I don't know where he's getting his logic at or whatever. He says, but there is no such thing. Plus, all of his tests are all old tests. But no matter what, the judge agreed with Simmons tests over my Dr. Harvey. I couldn't believe it.
Wow, they are just railroading you in every...
Oh, they are railroading me. Yep. They said you have to do 100 on my test. Mine was 90%. And on his, I was like a 45. I was... I shouldn't be able to take care of Cameron because I'm borderline mentally retarded or whatever. And it's like, you know what? You can call whatever names you want to me. There is... mentally challenged people out there who raise their children every day.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like, so if you're mentally challenged, you can't take care of your own children? I said, that's bull.
Well, you know, the government does consider that they own the children. Because if they have a social security number or something like that, that is a government mandated number for each person. And
well, you know, when you adopt too, your social security number, you know, when you adopt, the child gets a new social security number.
Right.
But yet they still use his old social security number to draw money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is
and
just...
that you could find out because you read about it all the time. I couldn't believe it.
Okay, so what are you going to do here? You've got a lawyer. I'm sure that your lawyer is very, very skilled and talented in what he does, but you really do need to take some proactive steps and measures here. Get a camera, start recording, start investigating into the background of these people that are involved, Don Hominga, Craig Sharp, all of these people are engaging in criminal activity to cover the original murder.
And you know, it's so hard. It's no matter what, it boils down to money. It's
sure.
Like, you know, I'm begging. It's like, I need help. I need help for money-wise, especially for my attorney. Her name is Cindy Harmon, and she's a wonderful attorney. We got her out of East Lansing. And but it's like she said, she needs money now. And it's like, we don't have it. You know, I don't want to lose her because of money. You know, that's what's so terrifying. It's like, I need help.
Now, Cindy Harmon is helping you with the situation with Cameron.
She is the adoption attorney.
Okay.
I have another attorney here, Adam Vernon, who's been helping me to get visitations and then trying to help to get me, you know, to go through with all this case that I've been going with Cameron before the adoption. And yet they still won't allow him to even speak. And that's what makes it sick.
And what's his name?
Is that here I'm Adam Vernon. And here he's been, he tried so hard, but yet he can't do nothing. Because the judge will not allow him to speak. I have to do it all. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing up there.
Well,
and it isn't right that my own attorney can't talk.
What's the point of having an attorney if they can't speak for you?
I know, but yet you have to have one. I says, you know how much money I owe this man, too? You know, I says, this is just ridiculous. It's just thousands of dollars that we don't have. It's pretty bad. I said, when we lost our son, we gave up everything. Homes, you know, we gave up a house in Florida. I mean, literally gave it to him. Back to the park that we were at because we couldn't afford the payment each month. So they ended up getting a house that was completely furnished, dishes, everything. I mean, everything. The whole house was completely furnished and all. And had to give it to them. And, of course, they sold the house now, but... You know, of course, and they made a profit, too.
Sure.
It was all profit, 100%, because the house was given to them. You know, and it's like, we did everything, because no matter what, our grandson meant everything to us.
Right.
And yet, to only find out that that's my grandson, my only grandson, is going to be given to a family that's not even family. And they said it's not good enough that he should be with family. They said, Michelle says he needs to be with family. He's my grandson. That's not good enough, they said.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess not being a grandparent, being with family isn't good enough.
Well, this people, the system, will take advantage of people as much as they can for the money. And for the system, because there's a lot of people getting paid in the system. You've got the person that is taking care that wants to adopt Cameron. There's too many people making money here.
Oh, there's way, you would not believe how much money they're making. The thing is, the longer they keep a child in foster care, the easier it is to take them away from family.
Sure.
And then they can end up doing it.
Sure, because then they can say, well, that person is just not qualified, and then you've lost a child. And
right. Because they're saying they grew a bond. Well, isn't that what they're being paid for?
Sure.
Is
sure.
That bond? Aren't they supposed to be taking care of children? So when it's time to go back to their family, they're safe? Isn't that what your job is for?
Right.
Your job isn't to be paid to take children away from family.
Right.
You know, and that's exactly what this woman's doing. And there is no regret. I mean, she wants this child, and she's going to do whatever she can to take the child. And you know what's really sad is that DHS is paying for everything for her.
Right. So she doesn't even have to come up with anything. She's just in it for the money. Well, I think that if you could possibly get more media attention on this, what about the newspapers in the adjacent towns?
I have tried. I tried calling 7 and 4, and then I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try to call them back to see if they do it. Even 9 and 10 to see if they'll do some kind of story about this.
Oh,
so that way people are aware. But the problem is, they don't call you back, and I don't understand why. I guess it's not a good enough story. I don't know.
Well, they really aren't looking for really good stories. They're looking for stories that will make them look good, will make the system look good, and it's going to be it will be difficult to get the mainstream media to give this story attention because of all the high rollers that are involved with, you know, like Judge Burmeister and you know, all these other people, Bill Johnson, because it'll tear this whole thing open. Anybody that covers this, accurately and adequately, will open up a big can of worms, and that's not what they're going to, they are not going to do that.
Yeah. And that's what makes it so sick. It's like, you know, like they said, would people give up their jobs and, you know, just for you to get your grandson? I mean, I can't forget Felony for it. I mean, her telling me that we're going to get him,
yeah,
you know, and then all of a sudden not do it. How can you lie to somebody and then end up giving them to there because Bill Johnson told you to?
Right.
And she, you know, and what the bad thing is that she can even lie on court. She can stand on there and lie. But yet she told my other two attorneys that I was going to get Cameron. And even told my one attorney that Bill Johnson told her she had to change her mind. And that is not right. I just can't understand how this man has this much power and why he isn't thrown out of there.
Well, because
and why the governor hasn't, and why the governor hasn't done something about this.
Because the governor is part of the system.
And that's what makes it so sick.
This is a spoil system. This is, and they look at children as commodities. They don't look at children as human beings. They are looking at Cameron as a commodity wherein people can make money. This is so sick. This system is very sick. Oh, gracious. Well, hopefully somebody who is listening to this program can get a hold of you. May I share your email with people who contact me?
Oh, yes. And if anybody wants to donate any money, if they could help us in any way, you know, they can send it to our attorney, Cindy Harmon, and I can give you her address, you know, because we need help badly.
Okay,
what is
your address?
903 East Grand River Avenue, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823.
Hang on. 903 East Grand River Avenue, Lansing?
East Lansing.
Okay. East Lansing. And to send it in care of, what's the zip code?
48823.
Okay. Okay.
Her name is Cindy Harmon.
H-A-R-M-O-N?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you definitely need to get some help. I think that you probably need somebody that is that understands how to work with the court, because you are catering to their system. The minute you show up in court, you are giving them authority over you. And there are ways of working with the court so that you do not do that, so that you could have some sort of a chance of defending yourself and your position. And I do know that there are people who listen to the program who know how to do this. So let's hope that they will contact me. And they can do that at comment@spingola.com or Deanna@spingola.com.
And they can call me too if they want to.
Okay.
I mean, any kind of help, because it's like I said, I know we're going to be getting a letter any day for us to go to court where they're going to make sure that we don't see Cameron anymore.
Okay, what is your
phone
number?
And it terrifies me. It's 989-889
0658. Let me repeat that. It's 989-889-0658.
Yes.
Well,
and if there's any way that anybody can help to help us, because right now this is terrifying, because you know we're right down to the Section 45 now.
Sure.
Because now we've got 14 days starting today of going in front of them, because now we're going to have to go in front of the court to try to change their mind about us not getting
Cameron. Where you need the help on how to approach the court, because
right.
They are not considering you as having any rights.
Correct.
Right. Okay, well, thank you.
Because we do know that Granholm did pass a bill about where family should be with family, that you need to use the family first, you know, to make sure that the child can work out with the family. They haven't even done that. They were supposed to, even DHS or CPS was supposed to fill out papers. And it was the section 9899 where you're supposed to seek your family first, and they never did that. They knew there was family out there. Not once did they come and try to find any of my family. They refused my family and turned them away.
Wow.
I mean, not once. I mean, it's just horrifying, you know, knowing what this is going to happen. This is, you know, because they did give Cameron back to the mother. Once, and it lasted 2 weeks, and she was so bad with her drugs, and they took Cameron away.
Oh, that poor little child.
And here, they still put him back in the foster care, and they still refuse to let us have him. I mean, these are horrible, rotten, vile people. I cannot believe how bad they are to us.
Indeed.
And that they should be held accountable for what they're doing, and I cannot believe that they're getting away with this.
Yes.
They think that they're God. That's what they even say with Bill Johnson. He thinks he's God, but he's not. Because to me, he's the devil. He's Satan himself.
Right.
I don't understand how a man could take away children from family.
Because they're not looking at them as children. They're looking at them as commodities, whereby they may make financial benefits.
Oh, yes, I agree.
There's a lot of money changing hands here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I agree with that.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being on the program today. And I can send you have a, I will send you the audio file for this to share with anybody that you wish, or to re-listen to it, or whatever. And let's hope that some people will step forward with some help for you.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.